Romans chapter 1 today, and welcome to court. The trial's about to begin. Now I'm going to indulge in just a bit of drama here, but I promise this will totally help you understand Romans. Plus, it's more fun this way. Remember, Paul's about to lay out the gospel, the message of God to man. Unashamed, Paul's ready to declare it. But how he shares it here is brilliant. Beginning in verse 18, Paul lays out what can only be described as a legal case. It is thorough, it is exacting, and it moves very decidedly towards a verdict. Paul is prosecution, and the trial is serious. Now remember, please don't walk out early. We're in court, and every wise judge knows you don't pass judgment until all arguments are complete. Also keep in mind, as we go, this is the gospel. This whole thing is about getting right with God. We are not right, but not everyone knows that. A lot of us think we're all good. So first, before getting right, Paul has to prove that we are not right. And that happens right here in court. Now, as the people shuffle past you into the courtroom, you notice that there are three types of people walking in. The first are obvious, the wicked. These guys have guilty written all over them, and they know it. The rebellious little punks cram in together at the defendant's table, just waiting for the gavel to come down. Then there are the godless. They may not look so bad, but if you're a believer, you know better. No respect for God in this crowd. They hide behind their excuses, and today, they hide in the seats at the back of the courtroom. They look a little amused at this whole thing, as they remain quite convinced that the judge does not exist. And finally, in come the religious, and they look confident, a little smug even, like they've been waiting for this. And they move quickly and confidently to the place they know they belong, the jury box. They are more than happy to help pass judgment. One of them almost makes a move for the judge's chair and eyes the gavel as if he owns it. So, everyone seems to be in place. You can take your seat wherever you fit in, of course. It's time to begin. Paul steps up to present the case, and it begins in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Whoa, hold on. What's with the fire and brimstone? The wrath of God? Paul starts the gospel with the wrath of God? Yep. But can a good God get angry and still be righteous? Well, think of it this way. When I was about 20, I saw a man in a parking lot beating a woman severely. I was barely a man, and he was twice my size. I was scared, but I was angry. So was I right or wrong to be angry? I would say that only a sick and depraved man would not be angry at that. If you love good, then you must hate evil. To not hate evil is to show no compassion for those whom it hurts. God is good, and God has wrath, back in verse 18, against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. That word suppress means hold down or cover up. They cover up the truth. The Greek word means holding a rudder against the current. By their wickedness, they hold the rudder against the strong current of truth. And notice who's on trial first, the godless and the wicked. The wicked look downcast. They knew this was coming. But the godless roll their eyes with contempt, as if this monkey court matters. So Paul squares up with the God deniers first. And in verse 19, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. What Paul is saying is that the evidence of God is everywhere. And watch his wordplay here. God's invisible qualities are clearly seen. You can see the proof of the invisible God in all creation. It is undeniable, so that people are without excuse. And it is the word excuse that hits home with me. At 21, I was a scientist, an A student at one of the top engineering schools in the country. And in this court, I sat in the back, godless. So Paul presents the case against me next time.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.